I guess. Psalm 18. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to read three verses. I don't always ask you to stand, so just this one time since it's real crowded. Kyle, if my microphone starts popping, turn the volume down to it and leave the microphone at the podium still open, if you would. But that way we can still record if it's working that way. Let's read. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use us today. Let us decrease as You increase. Let the Holy Spirit move up and down every aisle and in through every person. And Lord, You do Your work. We've sang, we've praised You. We'll preach about You. And Lord, then we'll let You loose to do the work that You do and You can do only. Lord, have Your way in our sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever listened to a song? Have you ever listened to a song? And when you hear the song, you really don't hear the words. You go back to a place or a time. Or the way you hear it, you kind of say, man, that reminds me of summer. That reminds me of winter. That reminds me when I went through something real hard. Or maybe when I went through something really great. Well, I was studying, I had another message, but then God interrupted. Amen? Friday night, God interrupted. I'm glad God interrupts, because if I preach you something, it's probably going to be terrible. But if God gives you something through me, it might be pretty good. So God sung me a song and let me remember some stuff. First of all, He said, I will love thee. I want you to get this, and I want you to hear it clearly. If you don't love God, if He's not precious to you, you don't know who God is. If God's not the most important thing to you, I hope today before you leave, you find Jesus. Because when you find Him, it's like finding a treasure in a field that you didn't even know existed. I'm going to preach if you don't mind. Listen, it's like finding Jesus, like finding a treasure in a field. Amen? In the field of life. Have you ever seen a field that's got stuff in it you didn't expect it to be in there? I've been in some fields before and all of a sudden run up on a car. Amen? Somebody said you're at Flat Top. Amen? Have you ever been, sir, you've been getting in some land, you're like, hey man, it's pretty cool land. All of a sudden, hey, there's an automobile. And there's a tractor. And there's something that's been buried over here, right? That's our lives up into the point where we find Jesus. We got a bunch of junk buried in our field. Amen? We got some good stuff in the field. It's a pretty good life. But there's some junk buried. Anybody got some junk buried in your field? We don't like when it gets discovered, but it's there. Amen? But when you find Jesus, you do this. Just like you was in a field out in the middle of nowhere and nobody's around. And all of a sudden you find Him and you look around and you go, man, did nobody know this was here? Amen? And when you find Him, He's so fresh and so new and He changes you so much that you can't explain it to nobody. You just every once in a while you just say, man, He's so good. Even when you're going through something so bad, He's still so good. If you don't have that today, listen, it's easy to get. It's as simple as you saying, Jesus, I need You. Because I don't know what He's talking about. I know You're good, but I don't know You like that. When you know Him like that, your world can fall apart. But your relationship with Jesus never does. That's what that first part of that song means. And if you've seen in the first three verses, it had two words that kind of closed it together, and it's Lord. Jesus, when He becomes Savior to you, He's the Lord of your life. Listen, I want you to write it down this way. He has all control of your life. Amen? That means He's got the final say-so in everything you do. That's God. That's the Lord. I like to say it like this. You're either spirit-led or you're spirit-dead. Amen? If God don't ever intervene and change your plans and wreck your ideas, then you don't know who God is. My God comes on the scene when I've got a good plan and scratches the whole plan out and writes another plan, and it scares me to death. But then at the same time, I know it's a better plan. Because I've tried it. I've tried Him. And everything He does works to the good for me and for you. Amen? Can I tell you another one? He's got veto power. He's got veto power. Does your God, does your Lord have veto power? Man, you ever had God come and veto some stuff? Listen, He'll veto some people in your life. If y'all don't start saying amen, I'm going to stop preaching until you do. Amen? He'll come and veto some people in your life. That's better. I don't care if she looks better than you ever imagined you dating somebody that looked that good. He might say, she's got to go. Veto. Let her go. God's pretty smart when it comes. He's a good read on them. Man, He might have a six-pack, perfect hair, and man, all the girls are like, woo! God knows who He really is. God really knows who He is. Veto. Amen? See, God looks at the heart. Some of y'all keep looking on the outside, hoping the outside matches up with the inside. But if you ever get the inside right, the outside will take care of itself. Because I hate to tell you, we're all going to grow old, slow, and we're all going to die. Oh, never mind. Preacher, you're just messing up people's dating lives. I guarantee you, when you're married for 50 or 60 years, you really don't care what they look like anymore. It's the experiences you've had in life. It's the good, it's the bad, it's the ugly, and everywhere in between. And it's the experiences. I wouldn't trade anything for what I know now compared to when I was dating when we first met. Amen? Because that's the thing that's important. When you got somebody praying for you and you loving you and caring for you and providing for you. Some of you girls need to realize some men need to provide. He might look good, but that does not translate into a paycheck. Amen? Both of you can't live in mama's basement. Well, you can, but there's going to be a war going on between you and mama. I'm just preaching. And just because she's beautiful, don't make her smart. Amen. I'm just saying. Don't make a good attitude either. Amen. She looks great. She looks awesome. But how does she look? If y'all don't mind, I'm going to keep meddling. Well, how does she look when your son's sick or when your daughter's sick and when your family's falling apart? What does she look like then? Does she close the door to the closet and pray heaven down and pray for her kids and see her kids delivered, see you better? Is that's more beautiful to me than anything you can do on the outside, baby. It's my song. I'll preach it the way I want to. This is how I heard the song, Psalm 18. God's got veto power. He can veto your job. He can. It's the best job in the world. Yeah, it's the best job in the world until it separates you from God. Amen? You'll make more money and have more stuff, but you'll be empty on the inside and always thinking you got to get something else to make your life complete. You know what you won't find? You won't find Jesus in that. Listen, sometimes it's better to be broke and be with Jesus than be rich and be without Him. Matter of fact, I don't know if I threw a sometimes in there. It's an all the time thing. Can I go ahead and keep meddling right here? I thought I'd be by point three by now, but I don't think I'm going to get there for another 35 minutes. Some of y'all are hoping I wouldn't get there. He's got veto power on your attitude. She done me wrong. Well, it don't mean you get to do wrong too. Amen? Sometimes you got to make up your mind that you're going to be the right person when they're the wrong person. Well, they left me. Well, guess what? You can teach your kids that their mama is a good woman and you can love her and respect her. And if you got to say negative stuff, make sure it's between you and her. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. You brought those kids into the world, guess what? Them kids are going to be whatever they're drinking from. You're the cistern. You're the water. You're the supply of what those kids are going to be. So guess what? You don't have a choice to have a bad attitude. What you got to do is say, God, I'll be pleasing to you, and I'll be pleasing to people, and God, you work it out. Some of y'all are sitting here right now. You're on the verge of stuff going on in your family, and you don't know what to do. God's telling me to tell you this. Love Him, live for Him, and He'll take care of the rest, even if it doesn't work out the way you want it to. God's got a better plan. You can be whole and be alone. You can be whole and have everybody with you. But you can still be whole either way. It's your choice. Amen? You got to let God be the Lord of your life. If He's not the Lord, you're not His. If He ain't got all control, He's not yours and you're not His. That's scary, isn't it? Because we like to blur the line. We like to make it like we can live any way and do anything. And somehow, at the end of our lives, we end up in heaven. Listen, God, when He saves you, I want to move on so bad, but I can't. When God saves you, guess what? Yes, you get eternal life. Yes, you're going to heaven. But guess what? You then get a Father, a Lord. Amen. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. He moves into your life. Praise God, you got some benefits that you didn't even know you was getting. You just thought, hey man, I need to get out of this trouble. Yeah, you get out of trouble. But then God moves in and says, oh yeah, by the way, I'm coming with the full government of God to take over your whole life. You start talking different and walking different and acting different and being different. And if you ain't been different, guess what? If you're still the same, you're not a new creature in Christ, not old things have passed away and all things have become new, then you need to hit this altar and say, God, I want what He's talking about. I want the love for you, and guess what else I want? I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to take me out of the control seat, and I want to put you in the control seat. The Lord is my rock. Whew. Take me up out of the miry clay, out of that sinking pit. You ever done that to you? Where you're building on sinking sand and shifting sand and, amen? You ever been there? Mine was like quicksand. God, y'all know what quicksand is? The more moves you make, the further you sink. That was my life before I met Jesus. I wasn't just in sinking sand. I wasn't just in shifting sand. Mine, I was in quicksand. And I'm preaching. Hey, you ever get to the place in quicksand, you keep making moves, and you start looking like a fool, and you're all the way down to the point where you're trying to keep your head up, where you don't breathe in all the junk and die. Y'all must have been a different experience than me. Just barely keeping my nose up out of the quicksand. And I heard Him. Heard Him. The shepherd once again. You want out? You want rescued? Yeah, but I can't get out. I've sunk too deep. I can't get out. No, nobody can get out unless I get you out. Well, I need you to get me out. But I didn't know that when He got me out, He was going to set me on solid ground. And as far, listen, I'm being honest with you. I don't care if it all falls apart, if it all goes bad, if I got nothing. The farthest that I can fall is on Jesus. I mean, I could be as sick as a dog, dying, broke, whatever. Guess what? I ain't getting unlost. I'm going to be laying on Jesus, hey, at the foundation. No, y'all don't even. When the storms come, when the storm rages, they ain't many people who stay up in the attic or the high places of life. Not many people stay in the living room. You know where they go? They go as deep as they can go, as low as they can go, where the fortified stuff is. Let's get to the basement. Let's get to the foundation. Let's get down to the rock. Man, ain't you glad? When life ain't pretty no more and you ain't shouting and singing and running, that you can get down to the rock. It might look ugly, it might look bad, and you might look terrified, but praise God, you're in the safest place you can be. Up in the living room, it was me and God. Never mind. Up in the living room, it was me and God.
down in the basement, it's just God. God likes the basement because our prayers start sounding right. God, help me. God, fix this. God, I've ran out of myself. Reminds me of when the apostles were getting down there and they came down to the bottom of the boat and they woke him up. They could have woke him up a little earlier. But we'll go and go and go until we think we're going to die before we really get serious with Jesus. He got down there and we make dumb prayers in big times of our lives. We say stuff that don't even make sense. God, don't you even care? Huh? You ain't even been talking to me. Can I go ahead and preach? Can I preach? Y'all have anywhere to go? If you do, I'm sorry. You slip out. We won't mind. I wonder, listen, they said he got down to the bottom of the boat. I don't care if he got to the rear, to the side, or whatever. I wonder at what point that he started moving to where he was going to go lay down and rest that nobody noticed. Amen? When does our lives get so busy and we think we're so in control that when Jesus starts to settle in our lives and then when he goes to sleep and when he's sound asleep and we don't even realize where he's at? Amen? That's the saddest part of that story, because you know what? I believe God would have never went to sleep. He would have never went anywhere else in a boat. If we would have said, hey, Jesus, guess what? This thing looks like we can handle it, but I'd much rather you be the captain now instead of me having to come get you when everything's a wreck. But can I tell you, God don't mind if it's a wreck. He'll still help you. Golly. Here's another one. He's my fortress. I love this little verse of the psalm because it reminds me when the wolves. In Psalm 23, he says he prepares a table before mine enemies. God sometimes will let you rest inside of him. You underline that and remember this when I say sometimes. Sometimes God will be a big fortress for you. Sometimes he won't. But I love the times when he does. Can y'all get there with me? Some of you men in here, are y'all visual? I kind of ride my spiritual horse. And we run across the drawbridge where the enemy's breaking. I mean, we've got the wolves and the lions are all chasing you. And they're about to take you under. And you run across that bridge and God draws up. God pulls up the drawbridge. Closes down the fortress. Every angel in heaven bends over the rails of glory and starts firing back on your behalf. And you get in there in the fortress and God's prepared a table for you and you're sitting there eating and the wolves are outside the door. They're howling and growling and going on and you're sitting there on the inside and you say, I don't even know how I got in here, but I'm so glad I did. God, y'all ain't been in enough trouble yet if you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, because that enemy will still be there and it'll be loud and it'll be intimidating, but you'll be inside Christ and they'll be wanting to bite you and they'll be wanting to take from you, but it seems like none of it even happens. Golly, that's good. None of it even happens. Wait a minute, they should be devouring me, but they can't touch me. I should be starving, but I'm full. Amen? Golly. I love that, amen? Those are good times. I ain't even got to the meat where I really want to get to preaching yet, so y'all stay with me, amen? The fortress. He's my buckler, amen? He's my buckler. I love this. It's one of my favorite places. I'm not much into Old Testament, but a buckler is a shield, amen? But it's a neat kind of a shield because it's one you put your hand inside of, and then you wrap it and tie it around your arm all the way up to your shoulder. And this thing becomes where you don't know where it ends and you begin and it ends and you begin. It's you're tied into it. Amen? That's how I want to be with Jesus. I want somebody to see me. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see me. Amen? But I got that buckler. It's a shield. And see, a shield, all it is there for is to protect you against the fiery darts of the enemy. If you're a Christian, you know exactly what I've been talking about right there. See, fiery darts are just these things from the enemy, and they hit you, and they're almost like lies. Whew, you're going to die. You ever got that one? Some of you men in here, you better stop lying to me right now. You ever got that one? You're going to die. No, okay, let's do this one. You're not a good enough man. You're not providing. You're not taken care of. You don't have all the answers. You ever had that one? It's a depression one. That dart comes in there and it hits you right when everything's not going right and you think you're going to go under. That fiery dart comes in there and says, if you were a good man, you wouldn't have to worry about this. Your wife would be taken care of. Your kids would be taken care of. You can't even promise him anything. You don't know what you're doing. Listen, I'm going to be real with you. Sometimes the enemy comes in and he hits me right there and he'll tell me all kinds of stuff. Kevin, you're not like your daddy. You know, you're not taking care of your family the way you should be. You can't be done. And you know what? Sometimes I have to put up my buckler and I have to block that one. Amen? Amen? I have to block that one. You know what? You know what it does? The shield of faith says, look, I might not be the greatest man, but I'm better than I used to be because I'm saved. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm not going to be what the world wants, but I'm going to be what God wants. Amen? And if I stay with God, I think He'll take care of the rest of my family. You just got to hit Him back with truth. Amen? Hey, listen, hey, I would rather be a godly man than a man that's got everything. Amen? Some of you women, I don't know all women issues, I don't. But I have a feeling that maybe the enemy comes in and says, you're not the greatest mom. You're not the greatest mom. Oh, there's these other moms. They're more in control. They've got everything took care of. You seem like a wreck. You don't keep your house good enough. You don't keep your clothes good enough. Your husband's not as happy. There's other people got more than you. Oh, you're just not a good wife. Because you don't do like that one perfect wife that you keep seeing her post and keep seeing what she says. And you think, man, she's made lunch, made dinner, folded the clothes, cleaned the house. Kids are perfect. They never act up. My kids are like wild men and girls. Amen. Y'all, am I preaching? Because listen, it's what you need to do is you need to put up the fire dart. Say, listen, hey, that ain't the way it is. Them people that are putting that out there, that's not totally true. They got issues. They got problems. They got trouble. Man, matter of fact, they probably got more troubles than you because they're trying to paint a facade of everything's perfect. God, y'all don't like me preaching. Listen, sometimes you got to be real with people. No, my house is not clean, but doggone it, we're happy. No, y'all don't get that. Have you ever had, listen, praise God, sometimes, man, you put too much on the outside and you need to put some, hey, come on in. Oh, what a man. Yeah, we're happy though. Praise God, we'll clean up next week. We're busy people. We're doing a lot of things. We're going to a lot of places in our church. We work hard. Hey, listen, I got a choice to spend some time with my wife, my family, or my kids, or I could be slaving over my stuff. I think I'll choose my family. Oh, never mind. So I guess nobody else struggles with that stuff. Can I just go ahead and hit you with this? Some of you need to run your own race. Run your own race at your own pace. Amen? And stop worrying about everybody else. Some of y'all just look around, man, oh, everybody else is. Listen, don't worry about everybody else. If you're living for God, He'll take care of you. Run your own race. And if you're running the great race, stop looking around at everybody else and wanting them to run the race you run. That's none of your business either. I don't care if you got it all figured out and you think you're perfect. There is no way that God puts you, run farther than you're running now. Oh, never mind. Move on, preacher. He's the horn of my salvation. Y'all get that one? The horn of my salvation. You know what that means? He's the absolute strength of my salvation. Without Him, I'm not saved. If anybody in here tells you they're saved because they've done something or said something that you didn't do other than Jesus Christ, they're lying to you. All our hope, all our salvation is built on what Jesus did at Calvary. Every person in here, every single person, if they had not repented and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, they would bust hell wide open. I don't care if they'd never stole anything but a 5-cent pack of chewing gum from the dime store or if they robbed a bank and killed everybody in it. Some of y'all don't like that because some of y'all are like, I'm up here and there. No. It's the blood of Christ. And if it's not on you, you're lost. If it's on you, you're saved. Amen? I love that when you get down there to Egypt. Remember that? That death angel, that's exactly what, it's a portrait of Christ. They said, put the blood on the doorpost. The angel of death's going to pass by. The angel of death did not know anything that was going on inside the house. All it was looking for was the blood. When you stand before Jesus Christ, some people say, well, I'll say this and I'll say that. No, you ain't going to say nothing. The blood will speak. The blood cries out. Amen? When Cain slew Abel, listen, guess what happened? He said, how do you know? God hears blood. I don't know how He does it, but He does. And that's all He's listening for. Amen?
He's listening for innocent blood. When innocent blood cries out, it says innocent. Paid in full. Amen? There has to be no other argument. Amen? Paid in full. Innocent. Passed by. See, even in Egypt, there was a lamb, an innocent lamb, without spot, without blemish, was slain, and that blood was put on. Listen, my God, I don't even want to preach all that, but they would take the lamb in, a baby lamb, and they would put it with the kids. Take it to the table. Pet it. Oh, I love him. I love little lammy. He's the best. Amen? But Passover night, guess what they did? They slaughtered that lamb. And I guarantee you there were some kids and probably some mamas and probably a daddy who went outside the tent who was tough, probably shed a tear and said, man, I hate to kill that one. That's Jesus. Innocent. He's a friend. He's a healer. He's everything and everything, but he had to be slaughtered for our sins. And even the toughest man walks outside of his tent every once in a while and bends down on his knee and says, oh my God. That shouldn't have had to die for me. Oh, wretched me. He's everything. He's our horn of our salvation. He's our high tower. You know what I like about it? I made this one totally up. This ain't in the Bible. This ain't not on the Bible, but this ain't what it means. So y'all look over me because this is just personal interpretation of high tower. If you got a different view of what a high tower is, this one's mine. Sometimes God lets me run into a high tower and run up into the top of it and look down on the field of life. One, I'm always surprised that I'm a little further up than I was before. Y'all know what lookouts are? When you're going up into the mountains, pull-offs that you can look at, scenic views. Amen? Have you ever done that? You start out the mountain, you pull over, and you can see a little bit, and you go up a little bit, but you know, 3 or 4 miles, you look, you pull over and you look and you see a little bit more. Y'all need to help me preach this into this message. Y'all, some of y'all are lagging on me. Well, the closer you get to the top, you can get up there and you can see. Hey, I used to live over there. Hey, that's where we just were. Hey, there's that store that we passed. Amen? It looks a lot smaller from up there, right? Well, sometimes God will let me get up in the high tower that I can look down on my life and say, oh, my God. God, you're pretty good. I've seen where I was, where I am now. I seen what you did over there, Lord. Man, that was good. Hey, man, I was a failure right here, but Lord, I failed right there where I could succeed over here. Man, that's good, God. I can see. Thank you for bringing me up here and changing my perspective. I'm not a failure. I'm not going under. Praise God, you've been in control of this whole thing. You know what I like about that high tower? Every once in a while, you can run a flag up on it and wave a flag. Not a flag of surrender. A flag of man, I'll praise you. Amen. Thank you for letting me every once in a while get above my circumstances. God, y'all don't. God, thank you every once in a while for letting me get above my circumstances, above the situation, and letting me see that you're a victorious God. And I'll run up the banner of praise and say, thank you, God. I'm not going under. I'm not dying. The enemy's not winning. I'm saved to the uttermost. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I can see it. Man, some days I don't see it. I'll be honest with you. I don't see it some days. But God has those special times. He'll let you climb all the way up into the tower. And man, you'll be like, man, this is good view, Lord, from up here. Some of y'all are going through some really tough times right now. And it looks bad. It looks like you're failing. It looks like you're dying. It looks like you've made too many mistakes for God to help you. One of these days, you're going to go up to the tower. And you're going to see this worst mistake, this worst time in your life. And you're going to look down, you're going to go, God, you were even in that. Thank you for even being in that. When I made a mistake, when I was a blunder, when I did what I shouldn't have done, God, you even carried me through that. God, I wish we had some real people in here worship every once in a while and say, I know we're exactly where you're talking about. You know how many times in my life I've made the wrong decision? You know how many times God, we do the, God send me a sign. He didn't send me a sign. He sent me a vehicle full of signs. Turn around, stop, quit, don't go railroad crossing, don't go here. Well, I wonder what God's doing in this. Amen? Guess what? He didn't send you into that place.
but He'll work through your life in it. Amen? He don't send you down every rotten path. He don't send you down every rotten trail. He don't go through every... He don't make every rotten decision you make. But guess what He'll do when you go through it? Come on through. Come on through. We'll use that. God, I don't know. We'll use that. We'll use that. I'll help you, and I'll help other people through you because of that. There's people sitting beside you. Don't know this. There's people sitting to your left and your right now that's been through divorce, who's been through drug addiction, who's been through so many struggles and pains and heartaches through death of their children, deaths of their husbands, deaths of their wives. You know what? They're sitting right beside you right now. And they're sitting here, and if you just tap into them, they could tell you, hey, God's good. Because even through that hard time, even through that worst time, God was big for me. And He'll be big for you. Amen? He'll be big for you. I made some decisions. I made some choices. I had some problems. But guess what? God was good to me. I was telling somebody this morning, just cling to Jesus. Amen? Sounds crazy, don't it? Just cling to Him. Sometimes you just got to hold on and know He's holding on to you. All right, let's finish. Amen? My high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Listen, I want you to hear this. No matter where you're at in what I preach this morning, no matter where you're at in your life, you know what God's telling me to tell you this morning? Some of y'all need to come to this altar and praise Him despite of where you're at in the circumstance. Amen? Well, it's early and I don't know if it's going to work out between me and my wife. Come up here and praise Him anyway. Well, I don't know what it's going to be like between me and my husband. Come up here and praise Him anyway. I don't know what it's going to be with my health. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Come up here and praise Him anyway. You don't even know what the answer is. You don't know how it's going to work out. You don't know what's going to happen. Come praise Him anyway. I don't know about my finances. My finances are all messed up. Come up here and praise Him anyway. God, take care of this. Some of y'all right now are dealing with family issues. Sons, daughters, brothers, moms, dads. And you're like, I don't know how to do this. Come up here and praise Him anyway. Sing a song of praise. God, if You can deliver David from all of his enemies and You can become all those things to David, You can be all those things to me. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.